You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Welcome back to Nightlight with Pete Schwabba and Greg Bach here on the Civic Media Network. My name is Greg Bach here in Radio Park in Racine, coming to you upstairs in Marinette, Wisconsin is Mr. Pete Schwabba, and just down the street from us is Mr. Dominic Lee in Madison behind the ones and twos. Thank you so much for being here. If you want to be part of the conversation, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream. We are currently streaming on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform we still call Twitter. Still ahead, coming up in just a few minutes, we're going to be speaking with Jennifer Nowicki, who is the owner of Cultivate Taste Tea and a certified tea specialist, talking about all the wonderfulness of tea and how we get it in our life. So that'll be coming up in just a little bit. Then we cap things off with the nightcap, as always. It's going to be a nice weekend coming up. I'm very excited about the weekend. Guys, are you excited about the weekend?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Not really.
Okay. All right. Not really. Okay. We got a not really and a weird. Oh, yeah. Great. All right. Cool. Also, folks, by the way, if you either whether or not you missed the opportunity or you did participate in the Break into Spring Text to Win multi-state contest in the 5 o'clock hour, that is now closed for now. But in the 7 o'clock hour, you'll get one last keyword, not just for the day, but period, because today is the last day. So make sure you have that Civic Media app. Stick around for that keyword. Text it in for your chance to win $200 plus get put into a grand prize drawing for a brand new mattress set from Verlo. So, I mean, there's all the reasons to just keep hanging out with us. I think so. What do you guys think?
Absolutely. Get app, turn it on, and keep it on your person.
Exactly. Well,
I so want Dom to make that a thing where everything we ask him is, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
God, I just do it again. Devoid.
But just with varying degrees of like, oh, yeah. And then sometimes, oh, yeah.
Exactly.
Oh, that's like funny. That
should reintroduce our question of the night, fellas?
I think so, yes.
Let's do it, Dom.
Yep.
It is Quentin Tarantino's birthday, one of the famed Hollywood directors of our time. And our question of the night is, what is your favorite Quentin Tarantino movie? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You can also text us on the Civic Media app, or if you're watching the radio on YouTube, Facebook, or X Twitter, you can drop us a stream comment, but be part of the conversation. And for those of you who might not be, I kind of thought this would be a home run question because he is such a renowned director. However, I think people probably hear him and go, oh, yeah, what did he do again? Well, you got Pulp Fiction. You've got he wrote True Romance, which is a great, great film. Jackie Brown.
Reservoir Dogs.
Kill Bill 1 and 2. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. That's my personal favorite. And let's see, what else? Jackie Brown, Kill Bill. Reservoir Dogs, you said, but Django Unchained, Hateful Eight.
The Hateful Eight, yes.
Hateful Eight. So he's got, apparently, we went over this a little earlier. He's directed 9 films. He says he's only going to direct 10. I don't know why that's important or not, but we are anxiously, Tarantino fans, awaiting his 10th film to see what he will direct. And as Greg mentioned earlier, maybe that was during the Super Secret show, he's doing a follow-up to Once Upon a Time in Hollywood called The Adventures of Cliff Booth. But as I understand it, he just wrote the story and David Fincher will direct it. So very excited to see that as well.
Yeah. So where are you, Pete, on the Quentin Tarantino filmography?
You mean how many have I seen or how do I just feel about his work?
Oh, how about that? How many have you seen? Have you seen all of them?
I've seen all of them. Hateful Eight, I would have to go back and watch again. I think I was kind of dozing. But yeah, I've seen them all. And I loved Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. I like when he changes history.
Really? Because I know people who dislike that a great deal.
Really? See, well, that's kind of, well, it's a hook in those movies. But like, I don't want to see, you know, like Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, he changed history. The course of history in the film and save Sharon Tate's life. So Manson, and then they messed up Manson's people. It was a great ending to me. And I loved DiCaprio and I loved Brad Pitt's character in it. I just thought it was one of those hypnotic kind of movies. I, I, I love when the scene at Spawn Ranch with all the Manson people and Bruce Dern scene. I love, love, love that movie. And I would say my second favorite is probably Pulp Fiction with Reservoir Dogs as a close third, but loved Kill Bill. But I'm a fan. I think he's a student of filmmaking and he's great at it. Whether you like him or not, he's kind of a weird dude. But yeah, I think he makes great films. What about you?
Jackie Brown, hands down, is the best film I believe he made. I think it was beautiful. It's small and it's like, you know, he went on to make bigger movies over time. Of course, they all right. do that. And but to me, Jackie Brown, especially coming off of Pulp Fiction, that movie, that cast, everything about it, the fact that, like, you know, I don't know, I just really, really like that. That's a movie I can watch at any time. And I would probably say second in line would either be Kill Bill or Reservoir Dogs. I know people who truly do not like him changing that. Like a friend of mine once said, he's like, I'll never watch Inglourious Bastards because my father fought in World War II and he found it offensive that Tarantino changed the ending. And somehow, like, he felt like it demeaned what his father was trying to do. And I understand that a lot of people will say, well, it's just a movie. But I'm not also going to tell my friend to discount his father's veteran record in World War II. So, like, I understand that. And plus, I read an article years ago how that, you know, changing the ending, changing what actually happened in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood could be seen as disrespectful of, like, oh, well, you know, they didn't live. And now you're trying to propose this idea that they did live. And I, you know, I get that. I don't really care either way. I just know some people don't enjoy him changing history in his movies. But I liked Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. I thought it was fun. It was cool, but definitely not on my top list for me. For me, it's going to be Jackie Brown is number one always. It's like one of my favorite movies, period. But for him, that is my favorite movie because Pam Grier is amazing. She's and so I mean, just you get a moment of Michael Keaton in that movie that is just awesome.
Yes.
So I really, really enjoy that movie a lot. What about you, Dom?
I gotta steal Pete's mojo here. I gotta say Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Really good. Okay. I love Brad Pitt, which helps a lot. so I gotta say Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. I gotta ask though, you, Greg, what is the plot around Jackie Brown? I've never watched the movie, so
It's about a woman who is just like, you know, she's trying to live her life, trying to do her thing, and she gets caught up in a, you know, like a burglary. Like essentially, there's stolen money. She's living her life, but she's doing some things that are kind of illegal too. And it's just the story about her trying to live her life around like this guy played by Samuel L. Jackson who is psychotic, and then there's Robert De Niro who plays this guy who just got out of jail, and it's. You call it a heist movie. It's not a heist movie. It's just basically a story where it's not a good description. I'm sorry about that, buddy. But like the cast though, too, you got Bridget Fonda, Samuel L. Jackson, a very young Chris Tucker, Michael Keaton.
Wasn't Robert Forrester in that?
Did Robert Forrester. Yes. Yeah. That's actually the movie that brought him back for a time. Right. Like he just, you know, Tarantino, that was Tarantino's thing back in the day is he brought these people that we were making fun of or forgot about for years and said, no, they're good actors. And we were like, oh, John Travolta is a good actor. He was always a good actor. It just, like a lot of people made some bad choices. And then all of a sudden Hollywood said, oh, you were our hot guy for 10 minutes. We're done with you now. But, I mean, it's just the story of a woman just trying to live her life, making some of the not best choices ever, but at the end of the day, doing what she needs to do to survive and make sure she protects herself. And I absolutely enjoy the heck out of this movie. I would suggest anyone watch this movie. Well, adults, it's got a lot of swearing and some.
I need to rewatch it. Yeah.
It's I saw it.
I've only seen that once, but I really liked it. It's a great film. Luke on the text line says in the 608 says Inglourious Bastards. Nice. And I hear what you're saying, Greg. I'd never really considered that because I think when Tarantino changes the ending, it's out of love. He wanted to kill Hitler. He wanted to save this woman he idolized, Sharon Tate. But that's certainly a valid, you know, if people think that, you can't tell them their opinions are wrong for sure.
No.
I think another great one he did is True Romance. He only wrote it. Tony Scott directed it, but it's Christian Slater and Patricia Arquette, Dennis Hopper, Christopher Walken. They have a classic scene
together.
Gary Oldman, yes, he plays the. I don't know if I can say the word on.
He's playing like a. He's playing like a dreadlocked dude. Like he's a bad dude. He's one of the best bad guys. I mean, his character in The Professional is one of the greatest villains of all time. The man has just got intensity that I don't understand how one like conjures in the moment like he does. But Yeah. He also wrote the story. He didn't write the movie or direct it, but he had the story for Natural Born Killers. And then
right,
Oliver
correct.
Stone wrote it and directed it, but that was his original story. And they just released Kill Bill, The Whole Bloody Affair. So they took both movies and put them together with like new unreleased footage. So it's like 4+ hours long, which was what it was supposed to be when he made it. Because it's one movie. It's just broken up into two volumes. But yeah, I gotta watch that. I loved Kill Bill. That was an amazing movie.
It was
great. I really wish they'd make a third one, but I don't think that's ever going to happen.
I want to say too, like Dom, you like Brad Pitt. This is going to sound like I'm joking or taking a shot at him. I am not. Brad Pitt, some of his best acting is in True Romance. He plays a stoner who's the roommate of the guy that Clarence is looking for. Mm-hmm. And Tony Soprano, James Gandolfini, comes in looking for this guy, and Brad Pitt is stoned out of his mind on the couch, and he's really funny. And it's a very quick scene, but he's very good in it. Going to the social media, we've got our pal Rich LoCascio, who says, "Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, what an amazing soundtrack." That's right. It did have a great soundtrack, too. Yep. And Jenny Brand, our civic media colleague, love Jenny. She says, "Once Upon a Time in Hollywood with Kill Bill Volume 1, a close second."
That's interesting that you wouldn't have Volume 2, because to me, it's just one movie. But
right.
Two separate stories, like told very differently, but still, I'm going to watch that whole thing this weekend, I think. That's going to be tough to do, but yeah.
I was working in Indianapolis at a comedy club with a Milwaukee comic named Mick Lazinski, who, do you know him?
Yeah, I'll tell you later.
Okay. He was headlining. I was middling, and we decided we're going to go to this movie. And it's Pulp Fiction, which is nonlinear. You know, Travolta gets blown away. And then all of a sudden, a scene comes in, and Travolta's alive again. Well, you know, there's these two guys. I think there's only four of us in the whole theater. And this guy sitting a few rows away sees Travolta alive again. He goes, "What the? Wait a minute. What's going on here?" Like, he's out loud talking. I go, "Dude, this is not an editing flaw. Trust me, this is going somewhere."
What I liked is that your impression of that guy watching Pulp Fiction and being confounded by John Travolta sounded exactly like Vinnie Barbarino from Welcome Back, Kotter, played by John Travolta.
Where?
"What's going on here? What?
Dude, it was beautiful.
Yeah. I think that was one of those movies that probably for me said, like, you know, I wouldn't call myself a cinephile. So seeing films that are like nonlinear in that sense were, maybe that was one of the first ones I saw but I at least like put the connection together because what they're wearing in that scene says, "Oh, that's when it's taking place." Gotcha. Okay. Right. I just like, "What's going on
what
here?
Is going on?
Wait, what, this was back in the day, so it's like, I paid $6.50 for this."
Right. It was middle of the day, downtown Indianapolis. But
oh, that's funny. That's
Mick Lazinski and me. And those are those memories you have with one comic. You have one memory with a comic you worked for, you know what I mean?
Absolutely. All right, folks, if you still want to let us know what your favorite Tarantino movie is, please feel free to text it in, send us a message on the live stream, or put something on social media. We are on Facebook right now. You can do that as well. But coming up right after the break, we are going to be speaking with Jennifer Nowicki, who is the owner of Cultivate Taste Tea and is a certified tea specialist, talking about all the great things of tea and why we should get it into our life. Don't go anywhere, folks. You're listening to Nightlight with Pete Schwabba and Greg Bach here on the Civic Media Network. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back to Nightlight with Pete Schwabba and Greg Bach here on the Civic Media Network. You can always be part of the conversation, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on our live stream. We are streaming on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform we still call Twitter. Still ahead, we are going to be wrapping everything up with the nightcap, so don't go anywhere. Plus, in that 7 o'clock hour, you will get your final keyword in our Break into Spring Text to Win Multi-State Contest. So make sure you have that Civic Media app, have it ready, get that keyword, and good luck in winning possibly $200 and a grand prize of a Verlo mattress set. But right now, we'd love to welcome to the show our guest this evening. She is the owner of Cultivate Taste Tea. Jennifer Nowicki is our guest this evening. Good evening, Jennifer. How are you today?
Oh, pretty good. And yourselves?
I am doing well. Pete, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. I have questions for Jennifer regarding tea, and I am going to keep you busy, Jennifer, because that's a great topic. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
You're very welcome.
Go ahead, Pete. I'll let you take it away.
First, I have to ask you this. I was reading about you. I know you were in the food industry before this, and you're all about quality and, authenticity in food and tea. How did you make that transition? Tell us a little bit about what you do and how you got into the tea game.
Well, ultimately, I've been drinking tea all my life. I do not remember the first time I drank tea. I drank tea with my grandmother, and she actually drank Chinese green tea. So it's a little different that way. Eventually, when I was, a young adult, I had moved to Seattle for a little bit. Even though it's known for coffee, there is a huge tea industry there. And I saw some exquisite loose leaf teas. I wanted to know more. I wanted to be in the industry, but I felt like I needed more information before I felt confident. So I found the Certified Specialty Tea Institute in New York City, and it was a 5-year journey. And I knew once I got there that it was the thing I wanted to do, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. Oh, absolutely. I mean, it sounds like a great apprenticeship, and that, as a former apprentice myself, I love that kind of training when you find something you love. I guess the question I have right off the bat is, you talk about wanting to learn more, but what was the thing then that just said, I want to make this, this is my passion now, and I need to know as much as possible? Because you hear a lot of people talking about many other topics, but tea is not one that people say, I'm running towards. What is it about tea that just makes you so happy and wants you to talk about it with other people?
The fact that I think it ultimately started, as you said, where the passion kind of, this is when I took the tea 101 and tea 102. And it's just I learned and I wanted to learn more. Cause there's sometimes where you're learning something. It's like, this is great. This maybe is not my thing. But once you find your thing, you find it. And it's just like, even though I do know quite a bit, I'm always learning more. I'm learning from other tea masters across the world. I guess I'm trying to go for the best, learn from the best. And to be very deep in the knowledge base of my industry, if that makes sense.
Oh, absolutely.
I want to ask you, I know I'm going to mispronounce this word, and I've watched videos on how to pronounce it and about tea. Is it terroir? What? Say it again.
Terroir?
Terroir. Can you explain what that is and how it pertains to tea? Because I've only heard it described in how wine is made, but it's kind of similar with tea, right? Bringing out an authenticity and nuance?
Yes, it is. It's basically, terroir can be the soil, it can be the climate, the elevation, all that. It's just, the general environment and how that affects the way tea tastes. And it also can be year to year, or even in tea, it's, can be flush to flush, which is picking, when you pick tea, it's called a flush. And it can also be, even if you could have somebody right next to you and the tea will taste different. You know what I mean? It's the varietals. There's maybe that's why I'm so intrigued with tea, is because it is literally just water in tea, but yet there's so much depth and complexity to it. And it is that way. It is definitely similar to wine.
Is it something where you can taste it and you can say this was made or here or with these? Is it like a sommelier type of training you get where you can understand where the tea is being made as far as its ingredients?
Well, I did take a professional cupping class, and then if you go to the upper level classes, you're literally cupping while you're learning. So you help develop your palate. So we are cupping a dragon well or long jin from China. There's a UNESCO World Heritage Site for this one. So we know what a good quality dragon well should taste like, or, close to that. So we have a better idea, because otherwise, I would think that'd be kind of similar to wine that way, where you know that this is what is the epitome of what it should taste like, or, you know, it's very close within a range too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I want to ask you about, we have about a minute before we have to go to a break, and then we have more questions on the other side, Jennifer, but when you talk about terroir, actually, I'm going to ask this question and then let's get your answer after the break, because I'm having trouble articulating it, but I want to ask you how people, the regular person, would be able to taste the difference, because we've all had like store-bought tea or tea in restaurants, but on your level, I would like to ask you what the difference is between something that's been through the process of terroir and authenticity and where the leaves are grown and all that, and if there's a discernible difference that the average person could taste a difference in, if you wouldn't mind just thinking about that question during the break, and then we'll come back and discuss it some more and find out where we can find out more about you and your products and what you do and more information. All of that is coming up, folks, on Nightlight with Peach Wabba and Greg Bach. After the news, Jennifer Nowicki is here, folks. We're talking tea. She is the aficionado, and she's here with us tonight on Nightlight. We're coming right back.
Welcome back to Nightlight with Pete Schwabba and Greg Bach here on the Civic Media Network. You can always be part of the conversation, 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream where we're streaming on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform we still call Twitter. Don't forget, we got the nightcap coming up in just a little bit. And in the 7 o'clock hour, your chance to possibly win, to enter to win, to get $200 in the Break in the Spring Text to Win Multi-State Contest. Last keyword of the day, last keyword of the contest. So get that Civic Media app open, ready, and stick around for that keyword. Good luck to you. But right now, we're going to continue our conversation with Jennifer Nowicki, who is the owner of Cultivate Taste Tea and a certified tea specialist. And before we went to the break, Pete asked a question. Pete, do you want to restate the question?
Yeah, I know. I'm trying to articulate this in a way that, like, we were talking about the process of terroir, where you make the tea and you cultivate it, and it's all authentic and organic, and all this effort that goes into making perfect tea, Jennifer. You know, I've had cups of tea in like a Japanese restaurant or at home from the grocery store, and I thought, oh, this is great. Would the average person be able to discern something that's taken so much care and time to make with a different cup of tea from somewhere else? Like, all that effort, tell me it pays off, please.
I think it depends. Maybe in the beginning, they might be able to do some. Usually the stuff that you get from the grocery store tends to be a little bit bolder taste profiles. Not saying that you cannot find some bolder loose leaf, you know, artisan teas like that, but they're usually a little bit more delicate and there's a little more refined. So maybe it may take a little bit, but I mean, I think if you have a few of them, cups of tea, you'll be able to discern that a little bit. I know that when I first took the cupping class, my palate was not fully developed, if that makes sense. So it does take some time, mm-hmm. you know? And then, as I said, we did, you know, 4 years. So your palate definitely can develop. I think you can get some, but you're not going to get anywhere, you know, that somebody has been doing this for years or decades, if that makes sense. I think you can kind of know the difference, but you know, if someone's intrigued, they can develop the palate more.
Exactly.
And you are the owner of Cultivate Taste Tea. What, I mean, you know, there's a lot of places out there, there are tea shops and coffee shops and whatnot, but what is the ultimate mission of Cultivate Taste Tea? When you were there, it's not just to serve great tea, but it's also like, what is the mission of that, of the business that you have, as far as like putting forth the knowledge you've learned over the past three decades?
It's just to, I can use one of my old taglines, is to infuse the passion of tea into people. I just want people to, I don't know, see the depth and complexity mm-hmm. that there is in it. Cause I really, you know, do. And I do get those customers.
Yeah.
My mission, you know, is I sell online, I sell nationally and internationally. Mm-hmm. I have wholesale accounts. I'm in actually some specialty distributors across the United States. I got a new one literally a day or two ago. And it's a big one, but I'll be in the specialty area. And it's just, And earlier this week, and it went live. The irony is I was in a podcast that was from Europe. So.
Well nice. Then. Wow.
Jennifer, here's my history with tea. I'll give you the short version. I love tea. I want to be an even more, a bigger tea drinker than I am. I do like coffee a lot. So there's only so much caffeine or beverages you can drink in a day. I typically drink tea in the afternoon because it's less caffeinated. Can you talk a little bit about the health benefits of tea, A, and then tea versus coffee? And what they both have tons of antioxidants. Coffee's a little richer, but do you drink coffee too? So if you don't mind, the benefits of tea and then your thoughts about tea versus coffee.
All right. The benefits of tea, it'll have L-theanine, antioxidants. There are many teas, especially that's evolved and changing. I know that white and green for sure, maybe some oolongs. That's the least research and health benefits out of any tea category that has the ECGCs. There's specific ones. I have one that has, I sourced from China that has selenium in it naturally in the ground it comes up. I have one from Taiwan where this oolong that naturally has GABA in it. So there's some specific things. You can also say that aged or dark teas, pu'erh, most people know of it as, for over 1,000 years in China, if you have an upset stomach, you know, if you ate, you know, heavy food, that's what they drink. So, I mean, there's that. And also too, is that's the little bit of the difference is that usually tea has less caffeine naturally. That's the irony is technically the plant tea, the tea plant, the leaves will have more caffeine than coffee. It's just easier to extract it from coffee. I don't personally drink coffee. I do respect that there are some people who are there's a craft to it. I respect that. It's just not what I drink. And that's partially also why I got into tea. The L-theanine is a calming uplift. It kind of, I don't know how you want to say it, but you get the caffeine, which will be, you know, the uplift, but it's calming. So you very rarely, and I don't think of it, I know of anybody who's gotten the jitters from it. That can happen with coffee. I'm not gonna.
Sure. That's a great answer.
One of the things you've mentioned this term a couple of times, and I saw this in the interview in Tea Journey from last November about cupping. What exactly is cupping? And then it also talked about your palate development. Like, how did you learn? Like, first of all, what is cupping? And then also the development of your palate, because I feel like a lot of folks out there might be intimidated by so many teas. They might like, it all tastes the same to me. Like, how did you develop it? And how does one who like, maybe like me and Pete, like saying to make it better and more refined, go about refining that palate?
Well, I can say is that I took a professional cupping class in my specialty tea institute thing. I did literally when we were, the four out of the 5 years, we were really cupping. So we did start to develop our palate and that, you know, it's just kind of like if you want to go to college type of thing, you know what, that's a good starter sometimes, but you know, if you did go to college, but you know, it helps to have also real world experience, if that makes sense. Yeah. Or like our apprenticeship that way, you know what I mean? That there's other ways where, you know, it kind of, it helps you with a good base, but you develop more as you get old. Let's see. What else? I'm trying to think of what else was asked. So
just what the term cupping means.
Oh, cupping is you kind of tasting the tea to get the structure, the taste profile. It's kind of interesting. It's basically, usually it is like they use the same amount of tea for when you do cupping sessions, you usually do multiple teas. And there are professional tea tasters in certain countries where they work for different farms there, and they'll have like 40 different teas and they'll be tasting them. And it's a process. You smell the leaves, you smell them when they're dry, you smell them when they're wet after they've been steeped. You make sure that the amount of tea you use is the same. The amount of time you use is the same. So it's just, and it doesn't always have the best taste in tea, but they do that so they can taste it to see the characters of it. And if there's any defects, if that makes sense.
Gotcha. Okay. All right.
Our guest is Jennifer Nowicki. She is the owner of Cultivate Taste Tea and a certified tea specialist through the Specialty Tea Institute. Jennifer, we've got a few more minutes here. I just want to ask you, you're in Green Bay. You've been all over. You said you were in Seattle. I know you lived in Vegas for a while. I was mistaken about New York, but you got certified through there and you've kind of been all over. How did you end up in Wisconsin and more specifically Northeastern Wisconsin?
Well, I'm originally from Green Bay, Wisconsin. I was born in Belen Hospital, if that makes sense. So.
And you had a cup of tea in your hand within moments.
Exactly, literally. I didn't cry first. I had a cup of tea.
That's a funny image. So really quick, you know, you mentioned earlier, you know, you've been doing this for nearly 30 years and you are a master at what you do. What do you still learn today? I mean, there's a lot of people out there who can say, I know everything, I'm fine, I don't need to learn from anyone, blah, blah, blah. But you just said yourself, you're still learning. What are the things you learn after so many years that blow your mind and say, I still have so much more to gain from this topic that I've given so much passion towards?
Well, I can tell you that literally just this first of November, that weekend, I went to a Buddhist monastery in Wisconsin. Wow. And they flew in this person is a Japanese tea ceremony master, and this is generational, his father. So he literally grew up doing this. And that's the thing, is if you know Japanese tea ceremonies, there are a few different ways of doing it. And you also know is that it takes, to be considered a tea master, you have to be doing that specific ceremony for at least 10 years. And wow. Just that. So
it's like medical
school. This over the weekend, and this one was a little bit, there's not as many steps to it. It's a little, I guess, easier. And even then, I know I'm totally a beginner, but I would love, I don't know. I guess I like to go deep dive into things that, you know, make me passionate.
Absolutely.
But yes, I would love to know, you know, the intricate details, because I know that they were being a little nice that way, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Type of thing. So I don't have those illusions that way. He's the master at doing that.
My last question, Jennifer, and thank you again for your time tonight. It's kind of a two-parter. Where can people find out more about what you do or your expertise? Where can they find you to kind of chase you down and pick your brain a little bit like we just did? And also, what do you think about people who put stuff in tea like they do coffee? Is that a taboo? I mean, does that kind of kill the whole idea of nuanced tea tasting?
I personally do believe that. The part of the reason is when you're training, when we're cupping, you're doing the straight up tea. That's how we were trained. And I guess it's kind of, since then, I mean, it's not that I've never had it. Some things, you know, added to it. It's usually me being respectful to where, you know, type of thing, but that's not what I, you know, what I do. But you can get me on cultivatetastetea.com. You can get my wholesale, my online. I'm in Substack. I do have a Cultivate Taste Tea Substack.
Great.
And let's just see what else is. I'm doing tea festivals across the United States.
Excellent.
So you can get me there too. And I'm more than happy. If I get enough people, I'm more than happy to do some tea education for people.
Love it. Thank you so much, Jennifer. Jennifer Nowicki is the owner of Cultivate Taste Tea. She is a certified tea specialist, and she was here with us tonight talking about tea and why you should get it in your life. I'm going to try some this weekend, maybe. So, Jennifer, have yourself a lovely weekend. We appreciate your time.
And I appreciate you for having me. I truly do. Thank you.
Thank you so much. All right, when we come back, it's time for the nightcap. Wrap things up for the weekend. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach here on the Civic Media Network. If you want to get in touch with us, let us know your favorite Quentin Tarantino movie. That's the question of the night in celebration of Mr. Tarantino's birthday. What is your favorite movie? Call or text 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You can leave a comment on that live stream. We are currently streaming on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform we still call Twitter. Folks, thank you so much for being here this week. We really appreciate it. Love having you call in, text, and whatnot, and love having you around to listen. So very, very wonderful. And don't forget, in the 7 o'clock hour coming up in just a few moments, we will be giving you the final keyword in our Break into Spring Text to Win Multi-State Contest. Last keyword, last day. That's it. We wrap it up. And then winners will the grand prize winner will be announced. We've already had some winners come through. Very, very wonderful. Make sure you have that Civic Media app open, ready to go for that keyword. And then good luck in winning $200 and possibly a mattress set from Verlo. So, that is that. I think I'm ready. I'm ready. Are you guys ready?
I'm ready.
I'm born ready.
You can't fake enthusiasm like I just exhibited, but. you win the $200, you throw it all over your new Verlo mattress and you feel like a bootlegger's wife. That's a nutty night in.
A what's wife?
Bootlegger.
Oh, okay. I did not hear that word. Okay. I heard something else. A bootlegger. Wow. That's so funny. Yeah, I did. Actually, that's what I heard. I'm like, I don't know if that is that what the kids are saying right now. I have no idea. So, good luck on that. We can't win. We work here. So Yates for us.
Kind of a ripoff.
Sorry, Mom. But yeah, it's time to get to that portion of the show where we talk about what we've learned. It is time for the nightcap.
Oh, I like that.
That's just really nice. It's like, and you hear, cup of tea. It's a cup of tea.
Cigarette
before no kids. Before we get into that, really quick, Michael in Madison listening on WMDX sent this really lovely text. Hey guys, been a minute here. Kind of feels like the first time I'm going back to the favorite popular dusty dive bar after new owners have renovated to a fancy things up. And I'm like, what? No pull tabs anymore? They're still pull tabs. It's good though. You guys are great. Keep up the good work. Keep up the good vibes. I like that. We freaking need them. He said he's also been quite the couch potato lately, binging that show that I don't think I can say,
It's
the name of it. And it's the show starring Catherine O'Hara and
Schitt's Creek.
Okay, you said it, not me. Absolute legend. Have a great weekend, fellas. Thank you so much, Michael, for texting. We really appreciate it. That's very nice to hear, especially in these first weeks of the new version, Nightlight 2.0. So,
yeah, man.
Yeah.
So. Great text. And then we've got Andrew from Maine.
Yeah.
He hasn't been around in a while. I haven't seen Andrew.
I know. It's been a hot minute since we've seen Andrew.
Yeah, but he says Pete wants to be steeped in tea knowledge because the pun is just sitting there. Well done, Andrew.
Can I just say something really quick? Jennifer Nowicki was a great guest, and her education and her expertise is beyond compare. So it was really, really hard for me not to make a, well, it's not your cup of tea joke.
Oh, dude, it was sitting right there.
It was sitting right there, but I did not want to do it because I did not want to disrespect Miss Nowicki. That's not my job to be an idiot buffoon clown, as one listener once referred to me as.
It's not your cup of tea.
Not my cup of tea, so...
Andrew also says, oh, I wish we had seen this, Greg, during the interview with Jennifer, because he had a question. He said, are there any good teas grown in Wisconsin that might have fit into an old segment known as Beyond the Cheese?
Well, technically, Jennifer fits into that format. So there used to be a segment called Beyond the Cheese on Matt and Aaron Air. We talked to small business owners around Wisconsin. Oh. She is a small business owner from Wisconsin. So by hook or by crook, bing, bang, bong, zip, zap, zop. Beyond the Cheese, sort of indirectly.
It's
boom.
It is fun when you have a guest who's so passionate. Like, you could hear it in her voice. Like, when you ask her a question, she's like, oh my gosh. And then she would get into it, and it was like just pure joy. It was great. So that was fun.
Pete, what did you learn tonight?
I learned that I need to, even though I looked up how to spell tarar 10 times, that was 7 hours ago, and I need to do a quick recap before the show. But I learned what you guys are binging and cringing, and that was fun, and it was fun to talk about that stuff, and I'm glad we got listener interaction. So this is an information exchange here at Highland. That was fun, learning what you guys like to watch on color television.
I love what you fellas. I learned that I shouldn't be intimidated by the concept of tea and just try some. Doesn't matter if it's like, you know, like a standard one that you buy at the grocery store, or maybe something a little fancier. If it's something you want to try, go for it. That's what I say. Plus, we got to save our sharks in the Bahamas because they are on the drugs.
Wow.
You really, really, really
strung
need to do
out
that.
Down there. Wait, have you never been a tea drinker, Greg? You've had tea, though.
No, I like tea. Oh, I enjoy tea. It's just I feel like I've never immersed myself into it or found the tea that I love. You know, there's some people out there who are like, this is my tea or my coffee, but I've never done that. So yeah.
Okay.
What about you, Dom?
I feel like I want to have a passion like Jennifer. That's kind of what I've learned is like, maybe I should find some cool niche that I don't have right now, but I want to.
No, hold the horses there. You talk about cooking, you're getting into cooking.
True.
That could be something.
That's true. That's true.
Maybe you can make your own big arch. You can call it the Big Dom.
Or a big taco. The D taco.
That's
the
true.
Domco. I don't know. We'll spitball it. We'll workshop.
We have to do that. Yeah.
No, let's keep going, man. Let's just go right in the 7 o'clock hour.
Please no.
All right. If you just joined us and you're like, what are they talking about? You can always go to civicmedia.us/shows, look for Nightlight, download episodes, and listen to them at your leisure because they are there for you to catch up when you need to. But go to civicmedia.us/shows for more information. Also, thank you, Dominic. Thank you, Tucker. Thank you, Traffic. Thank you, Engineering, for all the work you do because these microphones work, and that's all your work right there. Thank you so much to everyone who texted, called, left a comment on the live stream, and to Jennifer Nowicki. We really appreciate you all being part of that. We hope you have a great weekend. Stick around for the 7 o'clock hour because we got that keyword coming up, so get that Civic Media app ready because it's the last one for the break into spring text to win multi-state contest. Other than that, folks, it's time to get on out of here. Have a great weekend. Pete, lead them out.
Good night, Wisconsin.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.